Mark chapter 5. James Taylor, it's a good friend of mine, actually works with my wife. He's actually very lucky to be alive today. True story, this guy, he's what I call a true redneck. He laughs when I say that. He's been through a lot. I want to tell you about an incident he had. He was actually hit by a drunk driver. And being hit by this drunk driver, he survived. He broke every bone in both his feet. He broke his ankles, his legs, and his back. And so he was just broken. And just as he was recovering from all this, he had a heart attack. And so he has his heart attack. And the thing about it is he lives out in the country. Like I said, I tell him all the time, he's a true redneck. He lives out in the country, way out in the sticks. And knowing this, when he had a heart attack, he decided to walk towards the main road, which was a mile and a half away, so that the ambulance could actually see his driveway and know to pick him up. With his circumstance against him, he tells me this story. I'm amazed. I'm amazed by how he fought back against the odds. I was like, wow, man, that's wow. And I heard this and I thought it was actually pretty impressive. It's powerful. It reminded me of another man in our text. He was up against even greater odds. Just as James, my true redneck friend is what I call him, just as he overcame, this man, he did the same by making a decision, a simple decision, and he overcame. Tonight, I need your attention. Tonight, if you would just give me 30 minutes, I want to help you to understand something that you have the ability to do, something hell doesn't want you to do, but you have the ability to do this. And it is actually ability that God has personally given to you, but hell wants to restrict that ability. Hell wants to keep you from that. And that, friend, is willpower. It's a choice. So tonight, what I like to do is I want to preach on willpower, and I want to read out of Mark chapter 5. We're going to read at verse 1. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. Father, we pray that tonight that you would lay hold of hearts in this place. I'm asking, God, your supernatural anointing on this gospel message. Father, I'm praying, God, that people will make a choice, make a stand tonight in their life to live for you. And I'm resting in the fact, in your ability, in your power, Father, that you can change lives tonight through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Willpower. I want to talk to you first about the power of the will. Now, most know the story of the demoniac. If you are read the Bible to any extent, perhaps you've came across this story, but this guy has some massive problems. The demoniac. Right? He's the guy, the modern day goth. He's cutting himself with stones. He's a cutter. He lives in graveyards. He spends the nights, many nights, in caves. He has an uncontrollable temper. He's always yelling, always manifesting. And he's been arrested many times. The scriptures tell us that every time they go to bind him, he breaks the chains. And so he's a known criminal. He's always barking, yelling at the moon, yelling at people. He's got lots of issues, lots of problems. He stirs up problems. I mean, the guy lives in a graveyard and he runs around naked. That can tell you a lot about his character. But think about this, church. In Mark chapter 5, in verse 9 in our text, Jesus asked him, he says, "What is your name?" Now think about this. Jesus personally asked this loon, this guy that's out of his mind, he's bonkers, amen. And he tells him, he says, "Listen," he says, "what's your name?" You know what he told Jesus? It says that he answered saying, "My name is Legion," for we plural, he's a single man, but he's saying we are many. In other words, this man had many demonic influences in his life. He was oppressed. He was being attacked by hell demonically. Demons, amen, influencing him, his choices, his decisions. And no wonder we read about such a chaotic lifestyle that he's living. This man's demons has demons. His problems have problems. And to be quite frank and to be very honest this evening, his problems, I bet you, they're worse than everyone here. Your problems have nothing compared to this problem. Do you live in a graveyard? Are you running around naked? Are you cutting yourself, howling at the moon? I mean, listen, let me tell you something. This guy's problems, they're epic. They're large. They're huge. They're massive. Way beyond ours. But let's demonstrate for a second why. His name is Legion. Now, in Roman history, Roman military terms, that word Legion, it refers to a Roman division of 6,000 soldiers. 6,000 soldiers. So he's literally telling Jesus that he has 6,000 different personalities. He has 6,000 demonic forces oppressing him. And think about this. The Word of God is saying that this man had thousands of organized militant demon powers that were operating and controlling his behavior. Why do I say it like that? Because he used the term legion. He knew exactly what he was saying. When someone heard in Bible days, when they used that term legion, again, it referred to a domain or a power of 6,000 militant soldiers. So militant soldiers, they're organized, right? They are prepared to fight. They're aggressive. And this is what he tells Jesus. He says, in so many words, that he had thousands of organized militant demon powers that were operating and controlling his behavior. Not one, not two, not three. He didn't have the demon of lust only to deal with. He had a lot more. He was dealing with anger, hate, jealousy, lying, perversion, and we can go on. But the problem is he's dealing with thousands of, listen, organized militant demon powers that were operating and controlling his behavior. But this is what I want you to notice. Now pay attention to me. If you don't get this, you don't get the sermon. God has to speak to you right now. Listen to me. Give me your attention. The word of God says that this man had thousands of organized militant demon powers that were operating and controlling his behavior. But this is what I want you to take notice of. 6,000 militant demonic forces couldn't keep this man from running to Jesus. Think about that. The scriptures tell us in verse 6 that when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. Let me tell you, church, all of hell was against him. This is an all-out assault against his life, against his marriage, against his finances, his kids, you name it, in every direction. Listen, hell was launching attack and fighting against his life to the point he was cutting himself. He was obsessed, amen, with the dead. He's running around naked. He's barking, arrested, in and out of institutions. I mean, this guy, he's out of his mind. Hell is controlling. Hell is operating. Hell is fighting on every account. Hell sent every soldier to fight against this man and take control of his life. But there's one thing that hell could not do. Hell cannot keep this man from running to Jesus. Now that's important. That's very important because this is called the power of your will. This is the power you have in your God-given right to choose. It's called a free will. When you make up your mind to live for God, not even hell can stop you. I want to say that one more time. When you make up your mind to live for God, not even hell can stop you. And it's not like the power is in you or rested upon your choice. No. The power is gifted and given through Christ. It is given through the supernatural when you trust God with your life. But when you make a choice, you made a choice to come to church tonight. You're not in a bar. You're not grabbing a needle and putting it in your arm. You're not clicking on some pornographic site. You made a choice to come to church. You see, you have a choice. You've got power on your side of the court. You're holding, amen, in your life, amen, the ability to choose. It's God-given. God has given you a free will. This is what makes you unique from all the other, from all creation. You see, church, not everything has been decided. God leaves you with decisions to make. We make them every day. We must choose if we're going to run to Jesus in the midst of all our problems, or we choose to run away. Tonight, you chose to be in church, and that says something. You see, the Word of God is very clear on the fact that there is freedom and choice, that you have a free will. It was Joshua who said in Joshua 24:15, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Choose. You choose. God's not going to come down and live this life for you. God didn't predestine, as some preach, amen, that you don't have choices. You're going to go to heaven because God chooses, or you're going to go to hell because God don't want you in heaven. Listen, that's garbage. You have a choice. Joshua 24:15, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, or in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is Joshua. He's saying you're going to have to make a choice. Joshua said, I made the choice. Me and my family, we're serving God. It was Elijah who stood on Mount Carmel. And he spoke these words in 1 Kings 18:21. How long will you alter between two decisions or two opinions? And he's fighting, amen, with the personality of the people of God. They're going back and forth. They listen to God and then they rebel. They listen, then they rebel. And he said, what are you doing? Don't blame it on the devil. Don't blame it on God. Listen, you're choosing. Even Jesus himself, he contributed to this. John 16:17, Jesus answered, "My teaching is not my own." This is what he says. "It comes from the one who sent me. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak my own words." So even though the context is relating to the orientation of what he is preaching, we can still see that there is choice, amen, within humanity that we can choose to do the will of God. He says, anyone who will choose to do the will of God. This is Christ himself. You know, the power you hold in your life is your freedom of choice. And that's why I love my country. Now, I know there's all kinds of influences. I know there's all kinds of ups and downs. I can sit here and talk about the political party. I'm not. I can sit here and talk about social media. I'm not. I can sit here and talk to you about, you know, different social norms today and their influence on making you change what a woman is called or your biology. But the point is, the power you hold in your life is your freedom to choose. Listen to this in Isaiah 55, verse 6. It says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found." Seek. That means you can choose to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn. They can choose to turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them and to our God, for he will freely pardon. So the point is tonight, church, is that you have the choice to seek God and flee temptation and live for him, and hell can't do anything about it. This is something hell would try to fight in your life. Hell will try every avenue to convince you you don't have a choice. Hell is a master at deception, make you feel powerless. There's no way out. There's no hope. It's always going to be this way. Why try? God doesn't want you. That church don't like you, and that pastor, you know, and then hell is a master of deception. And you collect these ideas, we can collect these ideas, and we can think that, you know, we're just trapped and we're just a part of the circumstance. Listen, hell seeks to take the one thing that keeps you from living for God, and that's a choice. You know what the difference is between a believer and an unbeliever? Their choice to believe. It's that simple. You know what the difference between heaven and hell is? A choice to believe. God isn't throwing people in hell. God doesn't say, "Oh, I created you and I'm going to die in hell." No, that's not God. God gave his son for the world. He loves the world. God is doing everything possible. He created the institution of a church to go out and preach the gospel and win people. He created the institution of a marriage to raise up wholesome believers. Listen, God has in every facet of life, amen, even through his word, which never changes, never passes away, God from the very beginning till now, until he returns, amen, and establishes his kingdom, amen, after the 7-year reign. Let me tell you something. All this is a part of God's willingness to get anyone to believe. God has grace, he has mercy, and he wants you to believe. But listen, it's your choice. He's not going to come down here and make you believe. You can choose right now to avoid this sermon and look on your phone and just be on your phone all service. You can choose that. You can choose to ignore the pastor. You can choose to not read your Bible. You can choose to skip prayer. You can choose, amen, not to follow after your parents and they're trying to teach you to love God. You can choose these things, yes, but you can also choose to serve God. You can also choose to be David, a teenager in school that defended the gospel, and he was raised to do great and mighty things, amen, for the kingdom of God. And friend, you can choose, amen, to be a dad that wants to lead their family, his family, amen, in the will of God. He goes to church, he reads his Bible, he prays over his wife, he invests, amen, tithes and offerings. He's available for the kingdom of God. He's focused. Listen, you can choose to be a woman of God. You're going to uphold your relationship with your family. You're going to defend your home. You're going to do all you can, amen, to focus your attentions, your influences on the gospel. Friend, listen, you have a choice. You have a choice. Hell seeks to take that choice, though. You see, when a man makes up his mind, when a woman makes up their mind to serve God, when he or she determines in his life that they're going to live a certain direction, they're going to do a certain thing, this is where their life changes. This is where their life changes. Proverbs 16:9. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. What does that mean? In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. Listen, all you need to do is make a choice not to alter from it. You need to make a plan to serve God. And if you make that plan to serve God, God will help you live for Him. God will help you learn to pray. Learn to love, learn to forgive, learn to apply faith into your life. God will help you along the way. He'll establish you. He will do what it takes. He's done everything it has taken already by giving His Son on the cross, His death and resurrection, and giving you the Holy Spirit, which is the one thing you need, amen, to live today, presently, amen, till He returns. But listen, the point is, church, is that you have a choice. You see, willpower is not salvation. I'm not up here telling you that you can willpower or strong will God to save you. Let me tell you something, you can't. There is nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do to make heaven left to your own devices, your own agenda. Nothing. All you actually can do is surrender, repent, and trust God. That's all you can do. Willpower is not salvation. Salvation is given by God, but this is what willpower is. Willpower is the opportunity to make a choice to trust God, to run to Him. And once you do that, God will help you. See, you must defend that choice. That's what willpower is all about. It's a decision you fight for. You're not going to change your mind. No matter what hell throws at you, you've made a choice. You've made a choice. But here's what our text teaches you and me. This is the point that the text is trying to relate tonight. The Holy Spirit is trying to put this in your hearts, church. Listen, when you make up your mind to live for God, no matter how hard hell is fighting you, He can send all 6,000. He can send a legion of demonic forces against your life. But He can't keep you from making a choice to live for God. He can't do that. He can't do that. That's the power you have. I'm going to talk to you secondly about a strategy against the will. Mark 5:15. Listen to what happens. Then they came to Jesus, and they saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion, 6,000 militant demonic forces influencing his life. He was sitting and clothed and in his right mind. His life changed. And they were afraid. They never seen nothing like this. Here is this man. He's totally different. He's not howling at the moon, cutting himself, running around naked, starting fights, going to jail. He's not doing that anymore. He's actually got clothes on. And is in his right mind. He's a functioning part of society. He's totally different. And here's the thing. They were afraid. They were afraid. You know, the world is afraid because they don't understand. It goes against culture. You see, society teaches that we don't have a choice, that our will is powerless. Let me tell you how. They say things like, you're all jacked up today because you're raised in a broken home. It's not your fault. You're the way you are, and you're going to have to stay that way, and it's okay to be that way. The reason you have a bad temper is because you're Irish. The reason you're poor is because you were raised in poverty. It's okay. You're just a victim of your environment. That's why you're a thief. You know, society is telling us we do what we do because we're born this way. There was an article I read about murderers. Listen to this. The title was, Are Murderers Born or Made? British neuroscientist Professor Adrian Raine did brain scans on prisoners. So it seems, this is the conclusion of his article. It's a long one, so I'm just going to give you his conclusion. He says, so it seems that murderers have brains that make them more prone to rage and anger while at the same time making them less able to control themselves. And he comes to the conclusion that, maybe they just don't have a choice. This is what society is trying to filter into our schools. This is what society is trying to filter into the homosexual agenda through social media. This is what, you know, what is a woman? The question no one can answer. Well, I can answer it. My wife can definitely answer it. But the point is people are afraid to speak up. I seen a clip. Someone took it. It was dealing with our government. They were in a session of court, and this guy puts a $20 bill down. He just says, I'll give this $20 bill. I mean, it's not worth much. It's just $20. But if any one of you can tell me, when's life begin? That was his question. And not one of them would dare speak up. Not one. You see, their choice has been taken from them, influenced by the world. Influence through social media, influence through, you know, through different voices. But behind all that, it's hell. You see, the danger of this mentality is it keeps you from making a choice. And so, listen, church, hell uses fear to keep you from making a choice. Fear. Fear is a great tactic. Fear is a great tool that hell uses to disorient, deceive, and to keep you from living in faith. See, some fear that they can't ever change. There are people who are afraid that they will never change, that their choices don't even matter. They're a victim, again, to their own circumstance or environment. They've tried and failed, tried and failed. If God's real, why is it like this? And they come to these conclusions. They'll blame God. They'll blame the professionals, the scientists, the doctors. They'll blame mom and dad. They'll blame their teacher, you know, this and that, themselves. And the point is, church, hell seeks to keep you from making a choice. You know, as a pastor, I've seen potential in people that come in, they give their life to God. I've been doing this for many years. This is my third go at pioneering a church, starting from nothing and building it up. And I've seen a number of people. They come in, I see great potential in their life, but they don't grow. They don't develop. They're actually, over a six-month period, if they make it 6 months, living for God, faithful in church. You don't see a change really from when they walked into the door to that point. They just there. They just come to church and they just smile on their face and they just. But behind the scenes, in their own heart, they deal with fear. They deal with fear of, you know, stepping out and really believing God. You know, it kind of reminds me of the backslider. You know, there's hope for the backslider. Backsliding is real. Let me tell you, listen, you can choose to have a relationship with God, and you can choose not to have a relationship with God. God's going to love you the same. God's grace is the same. He never changes. He would always extend his grace. But the point is you can walk away from a family. You can choose to rebel. And what happens is hell will condemn you. You'll feel condemned. If you messed up, you're trying to live for God and you messed up, you're going to start feeling condemned. And condemnation is designed to keep you from making a choice. Why are you even trying again? Why are you even going to church? You know how many times you've done this? And hell will just whisper these things in your heart. Doesn't want you to make a stand. Doesn't want you to fight back. You know, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." You know what fear? Fear can keep you from the will of God. You know what I love about our text? The demoniac was healed and he went on to do a great work for God. I mean, we read about it in verse 39. Jesus tells him, "Return to your house and tell what great things that God has done for you." And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city that what great things Jesus has done for him. Okay? Fear could have changed the outcome of this man. What if this man was afraid to run to Jesus because he had been influenced by 6,000 demonic forces? Different voices, different circumstances. I can't live for God because my, you know, my situation, or I can't do this because of this, and I have to do this and because of, you know, what I'm up against, and if I don't do this, you know, and hell is just coming against them. What if he chose out of fear not to run to Jesus? Because he has a choice. Hell can't keep you from running from God, but he will try. Verse 39 would be different. We wouldn't read about the great things God has done for him. It would be all different. But here's the point, is you can make a choice like this man not to have fear keeping you from what God has for you. I want to close. I want to talk to you about the will to choose. Luke 13:24 says, "Strive to enter at the straight gate." Have you ever read that text? Have you ever read that? Strive to enter at the straight gate. A reference toward obedience and being faithful, living for God, making heaven your home. This is Jesus. He said, strive to enter. Let me tell you about people who make heaven their home. Those who make heaven, they choose to be there. That's a powerful statement. People who make heaven their home, they made a choice to strive. They chose to be there. They had to strive because, again, hell wants to influence your choices. Hell doesn't want you to think you have a choice. Wants you to stay condemned, trapped, possessed. Hell wants you to stay in a situation or a circumstance where you can't make church, to where you can't tithe, or where you can't outreach or join ministry. Hell will always come up with something to get you to avoid the will of God for your life. And this is why I love church, because the gospel brings people to a decision. I love preaching the gospel. I love it. I love it. It was the gospel that confronted me and dealt with me and my sin when I was 23 years old. Walked into a church, I had cut off sleeves, I had a, you know, I don't know what I had. I had some kind of facial hair expression. I don't know what was going on with me that time. I was just full of drugs and alcoholic piercings all over the place. I had in and outs with the law. I lost my family. I living in the streets and I run around Vegas in the streets. And this is just how I lived, you know. I remember one night I woke up. That's actually during the day. I woke up, I was in the back seat of a car with four people, only knew one of them, and I only knew him for about 20 minutes. But I woke up, I'm in the back seat of a car on Fremont Street in Vegas, and I looked down, and there was a meth pipe, and that meth pipe was burned into my chest. Literally, when I pulled it off, it pulled my skin off. I was an addict. I'm smoking dope. I'm just giving my life to sin. Man, living for God was a choice that I didn't think I could make. You know how many people told me that? You going to church? In fact, when I made the choice to go to church and live for God, I took my girlfriend, which is my wife today, we go to church, she gets powerfully saved, we're so excited, we go to the house, we called it the house, it's where all the dealers hung out, and we go there, and we know them all, they're our closest friends, and I'm in there, and there's so many things happening, drugs, and all kinds of stuff, sales being made, people, there's all kinds of stuff. I remember in the corner, there had this little girl, and they were doing bong rips in her face. She was probably, 4 years old. And we're sitting in this house, and here I am, and I'm involved in all this sin, but I got radically saved. I made the choice to live for God. I gave my life to Christ. I took my girlfriend, took her. She chose to live for God. And we come back, and we're so excited. I'm starting to tell everybody, and I'm sitting in this room for about, 15, 20 people, and I'm like, hey, guys, man, you got to come to church with me, man. You won't believe what they say. You won't believe what they talked about, Man, you ever heard this stuff, And I'm sitting here trying to explain it because I never have. I've never heard it like this. I've never knew you could have a personal relationship with God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. Amen. I never knew you could have that. I never knew about the Holy Spirit. Listen, I made a choice to live for God. But when I came back to tell them, listen, they weren't having it. They gave me an ultimatum. They wanted to be my friend and things, but they can't have someone like me around what they do. So I chose to live for God. And thank God I did, because I look back, true story. One of my good friends I grew up with, he's high on meth. He goes into one of his lady friend's house. She's another cook. Goes in. She goes in. He walks in. And he tells her, he says, I've been up for about a week. I just need to try to get some sleep. He goes into the back room. He's sleeping. That night, two people, for whatever reason, they broke out of jail and came to her house. They wanted vengeance for whatever reason. I don't know that part of the story, but what I do know and what I was told about my friend is that they broke into that home after they broke out of jail. They shot her in the head. They were robbing her house. They made their way into the back room, saw him laying in the bed, and put a gun up against his head and shot him when he was asleep. I can't tell you how many friends I have that ended up not choosing to live for God, and they chose to live in their sin. I don't feel better than them. It's not like I'm trying to feel sorry for them, but what I do know is the reality is hell ripped them off. I wish I could turn it back and somehow make them believe, but I can't make anyone believe. You have that ability. You have that choice. Don't allow hell to take that from you. You have the choice to say, I want to live for God. I believe. I'm going to commit myself. Or you can say no. But the reality is, one day, we're all going to stand before God and give an account of our lives by the choices we made. And I encourage you tonight, I'm giving you hope. If you choose to live for God, hell can't do anything about it. You just got to make the choice. You just got to make the choice and trust God. Don't worry about what people at school are going to say. Don't worry about what your coworkers are going to say. I'd be more concerned about, God setting you free, delivering you, giving you a life worth living, You can make an impact with your life and touch nations. You can help folks. You can make heaven your home. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You have a choice. You have a choice tonight. Maybe you're on the live stream. I encourage you to choose life in Christ. Repent of your sins and trust God. Pray a prayer of salvation. But if you're here tonight in person, we have different visitors here. We have people here from all walks of life. And every one of us, we have a choice. Church, you have a choice. Don't let hell rip you off. Don't let this world influence you, pushing you into being a statistic or a minority or a majority with certain groups and with a, listen, you have a choice. You have a choice. That's the freedom you have. That's the one gift God gave you, amen, besides Christ Jesus. Listen, is your ability to choose. So what's it going to be? I want to do one thing right now while God is dealing with hearts, while God is dealing with people. You're here tonight and you know in your heart God is dealing with you and you need to repent of your sins. You need to get your heart right with God. If this is you, you need to pray a prayer of salvation. I'm not asking you if you've ever prayed. I'm not asking you if you go to church anywhere, if you have a Bible. No, listen to me. You are in sin and you want to repent of your sins. You want to rededicate your life to Christ. Maybe you're backslidden. But you're not where you should be with Christ. If this is you, and you know you need to repent. Maybe you're religious. You go through the religious mannerisms, the mechanics of religion, but are you obeying God? If you need to repent, I want you right now to reach for heaven. Pastor, that's me. I need to get my heart right. I want to make a choice to live for God. Remember, those who strive, they're the ones that make a choice to make heaven. You're here tonight. I see that on his heart. Anyone else? Lift your hand. Lift your hand tonight. God dealing with you. You want to make a choice to live for God. You want to make a choice to repent of your sins. Amen. Brother, every head bowed, every eye closed. Brother, reach me. I want to pray. I need a brother to help me pray. Amen. Church, let's all stand. I encourage you to come and find a place to pray at the altar. Come on, church, let's all stand. Let's believe God. These altars are open. Come. Come and pray. Come and share your heart. Come and declare your allegiance to Christ. Come and, oh, and give your gratitude. Come and ask God to help you to fight things through, to overcome your circumstance. Come and believe God tonight, church. Oh.